Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
He would send his disciples out in the early morning in Godrum, which is the place of his residence, on the other bank of the Sarasvati River opposite Mayapur, and he would have them chant this song, which states that the great personality Nityananda made a Nam Hatha for the benefit of the jivas in Godrum, which is part of Nodia. Shadhavanjam, hey, this old faithful person, he's calling out to the faithful person.
Shadhavan.
So they're saying, on the order of the Supreme Lord, my dear brothers, beg these alms, alms A-L-M-S. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Karo Krishna Shikha, learn about Krishna. Being freed from offenses, take the name of Krishna. This should be Laha Krishna Nam. It's misspelled here, Leha. Krishna is our mother. Krishna is our father. Krishna is the very wealth of our lives. Then, Krishna Sansarpa. It's very difficult to translate. It doesn't really translate into English, but, make your family life centered on Krishna, or enter the family of Krishna, something like that. Live your life in Krishna consciousness. Giving up all kinds of sinful or wrong behavior. And he said the essence of all religious principles is mercy to the conditioned souls and chanting the name of Krishna. Actually, it's very difficult to explain these things in English. Doesn't really fit in English. English is meant for, you know, these Western languages are meant for going to hell. So. The whole culture is just how to go to hell. Fortunately, Prabhupada purified these languages by preaching in them. But actually, Sanskrit and closely related languages like Bengali, they very precisely define and describe the principles of the Absolute Truth. Okay, those who... Would you like to hand out a few more Srivas to those who don't have? So you can turn over your song sheet and we'll sing Nitai Gunamani Ama Nitai Gunamani. I'm going to sing this. Nitai Gunamani. Nitai is a jewel of all brilliant qualities, spiritual, transcendental. So this Nitai has brought a flood of love of God and drowned the whole world. Bringing this flood of prema, he came to Goradesh, Bengal. This was being discussed the other day, this whole. He drowned the devotees in love of God, but all the fools and rascals floated, determined not to drown in the flood of love. However, Nityananda was more determined than them, that these rascals, fools, and lowest among mankind, they should not survive the flood of love of God. But he gave them all love of God to the standard that's even rare for Lord, difficult to get for Lord Brahma. He cut a canal from the unlimited ocean of mercy, and wandering, he brought that mercy door to door. Lochandash Thakur, the author of the song, says that my wonderful Nitai, whoever does not worship him, is knowingly, willingly killing himself. Hare Krishna. So now questions and answers. Please return these song sheets and sing it somewhere else. So questions and answers, please. Hare Krishna.
It was said in a seminar by Bhaktivedanta Goswami that one can give up following Vedic principles and rules when they become an obstacle to devotional service to Krishna. How can a person determine if he is already on such a level when he can determine that.
Well, the thing is that if you have to consider whether or not to give it up, then you're not on the right level. And if you have to think whether or not to give it up, then you're not on the platform of doing so. I think I won't drink more than that. The whole purpose of the Vedic rules and regulations is to develop our love for Krishna. When there's love, then rules and regulations are not required. Just like the gopis, they ran to Krishna, transgressing the Vedic regulations to stay under the protection of their husbands. So if we have to consider whether or not I'm on that level, then we're not on that level. Sometimes it's used as an excuse, so, well, I'll leave my family because I want to do bhakti. But then someone does so, they're actually renouncing in the mode of passion. As mentioned by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, one who renounces because he finds the situation too troublesome, that renunciation is in the mode of passion. So someone may say, well, I'm going to leave my wife because she's an obstacle to my bhakti. But the obstacle is not the wife, but the attachment. A few years ago in Russia, one man was saying to this, his wife was there, and he was saying, I'm going to leave her, she's an obstacle to my bhakti. And she's saying, no, I don't want you to leave me. But I was saying to him that it's your attachment, but it's if you leave this one wife, then you'll hook up with some other woman because you're not sorted. So he was using that as an excuse. It's very bad. An excuse, actually, in the name of bhakti, it was his sense gratification because he was avoiding his responsibility. Anyway, I could speak a lot about this, but there are many questions.
If a person is a Brahmana, or if he is not, or Vaishnava, if he is or not, is it true that if a person tries to become one, he should be considered already and should be respected as Brahmana and Vaishnava respectively?
To some extent, yes. Just like if someone is seriously... I'll give an example. In the Western countries, they're very high. The highest university degree is PhD, doctorate. So someone he hasn't been awarded his doctorate, but he's doing the research and everything, he'll often write his name and put in brackets afterwards PhD. Now, when he actually gets his PhD, he'll write it without brackets. That means that he's on the way to being a PhD. He already did his bachelor's degree and his master's degree, now he's getting his doctorate, so it's expected. He's gone through all these stages, and it's expected that he's going to do that he's not going to flunk it. So more or less can be considered. Still there's a distinction. Someone who's seriously executing devotional service, they may be considered a pure devotee, even if there's residual anarthas within the heart. At the same time, there is a difference between one who's actually crossed over those anarthas. So it's maybe seen from both perspectives.
On the basis of initiation.
Well, this is stated by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita.
Rupa Goswami говорит в своей Upadeshamrita.
Where is that verse? Dikshasti chet pranati bischa bhajanta mishan. How does that verse begin? That Krishneti yasigiritam manasadriyeta. One who's chanting the names of Krishna, he is to be respected, at least mentally. One who is actually initiated, then we should offer our obeisances to. Dikshasti yasigiritam. What's the next line after that? Shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananya manya nindadi shunyam hidam ipsita sangalabdhya. Sorry, a little rusty here. So, but one who's actually on the platform of pure Krishna consciousness, specifically mentioned who's beyond the platform of blaspheming others. Nindadi, that means not only but he's free from all the various defects. Then we should seek out his association and serve him and take instruction. So please consult this verse in Upadeshamrita for further elucidation. Yeah. Okay. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commenting upon this. First, I have to tell you that in Bengali pronunciation, shiksha, which means instruction, is pronounced shikha. So he said that this represents Lord Chaitanya's shikha, or his instruction. He said there's no other meaning to it than this. I have one assumption or about this also. Damya Dradaive Jyodi Shiva Jayonastane Damya Shiv Thakur Se Chule Dharyan. This means that in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described that if a servant goes away from the master by somehow or other, by bad fortune, then glorious is that master who pulls him back by the hair. So we should have some hair. If we go away, Krishna can grab us. Also, traditionally in Vedic culture, without having a shika, no one can perform yajnas, which is central to Vedic culture. Read it in Russian, okay. And I'll read it in English.
You first read in English?
No, I'll read it and you can translate it while I'm reading it.
Okay.
Read it in Russian. I mean, translate it into Russian and I'll read it at the same time. Oh, there's so many English people.
Yes.
Sorry. All right. And I'll translate it into proper English. On many occasions, different devotees have different opinions devotees have different opinions. Should we follow the etiquette or efficiency, practicality, pragmatism? Should that have priority? Should we follow the rules and regulations of Vaishnava etiquette? What's the priority? Some examples, Vaikuntha Vaishnava etiquette or Ayurveda actually recommends eating peacefully. But it's practical to eat while sitting in a moving car to save time for preaching. And actually, Ayurveda proscribes eating while traveling. It's not written here, but I'm just adding something. Proscribe. It's sattvic to do Vedic bread, to make Vedic bread. In other words, chapati. Vedic bread. I never heard that. Chapati, sorry. Vedic bread.
What is about these breads?
It's Vedic bread. But it's efficient to make Western style bread in large amounts for 3 days, not 2.5. It's also efficient to do Western style bread for 3 days, 12 hours and 43 minutes. Anyway, never mind, that's just a sarcasm from my sarcastic self. We know we have to discriminate according to desh, kal and patra. Could you elaborate something about the apparent contradiction between being Vedic and Sattvic on one hand, and being efficient and practical on the other? It's sometimes heard that in a preaching movement, getting into too many details of etiquette is not good. Very interesting point. I've written about this in my upcoming book. There are, even when we're not preaching, there may be different rules of Vaishnava or Vedic behavior may come into conflict in our day-to-day life. One well-known example, which I won't tell now because there's not much time, is Lord Krishna tells the story of a brahmana who, because he didn't tell a lie, went to hell. I think I told that here last year. But it was conflicting with the other Vedic injunction. So we have to see according to time, place and circumstance what is the priority for serving. And this requires some common sense, which is, however, not very common as far as I can see. Just like that, tomorrow I'm probably going to take my lunch. I've already thought it out. If Krishna is so kind to give me his prasad, then I'll probably be taking it in a moving car because I have a flight at a certain time. It's not going to wait for me. If I tell them that, look, I have to eat my prasad and then I'll go, they'll say, well, forget it. We're not going to wait for you. However, in the name of preaching, we shouldn't think that preaching means that you just become some kind of barbarian or something. As soon as you're in a situation where you can follow these rules, which are meant for our spiritual advancement, then we should. These rules, they're secondary, just like we should eat peacefully. Well, one reason for that is it helps to digest the food, and then you get the benefit, which is your body is nourished, so you can serve Krishna nicely with a healthy body. So once we understand the principle, then the details, they automatically can be understood. The principle is to satisfy Krishna. So we should see what is necessary for doing that. We should also consider when we're preaching, what are we preaching? We are preaching to people to lead their lives in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. So these rules and regulations of Vedic life are meant for pleasing Krishna or leading us to the path that pleases Krishna. So if we don't follow it ourselves, then what is the meaning of our preaching?
Who is Bhakti Devi? Her significance?
I've never found any specific reference except to say that she's Bhakti Devi, she's the personification of Bhakti. She's described in Bhagavat Mahatmya, in Padma Purana, the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. It just says she is the personification of bhakti, and then she's wandering in different places of India, and her sons are Gyan and Vairagya, the knowledge and renunciation, or knowledge and detachment. So there's not much information about her in Shastra. However, we can understand that she's non-different from Srimati Radharani, because Srimati Radharani is bhakti. She is the reservoir of all bhakti, the giver of bhakti to others. No. I can only assume that the idea is not to turn our, that we're turning so we don't put our back towards Srila Prabhupada. It's a common practice while circumambulating deities. I mean, it's fairly common, you see in some temples, that devotees, they turn on the spot. They turn on the circumambulating means to go around something, but they turn on the spot. It's more like pirouetting in ballet. And Prabhupada also did that. I've asked various pundits, just been able to explain exactly why to me. It may be simply a traditional usage. I don't know exactly. They're also in the Sandhya Vandanam, which Brahmanas traditionally perform three times a day, they also turn on the spot and while chanting mantras. And the idea is to protect themselves from all directions. But I don't know if it's got used. So to give a brief answer to this, I don't know. And actually, there are many things I don't know. I'm so bold to sit here and say I'll give. I probably have more questions than all of you put together. Because if you study Shastra, then you so many things will come up. So, the fact that I don't know certain things, just like, for instance, where is Manu? Where is he? What planet? What's he doing now? Where does he live? What's his function? For instance. So these are technical details which the fact that we don't know the answer to everything shouldn't be a cause of disturbance in our Krishna bhakti. You have an answer to that? It may be momentary. Prabhupada was very strong on the point that he didn't want devotees to show their backs to deities, but he did allow turning round and round on the spot, dancing. Although not very much in favor of this kind of dancing, it's almost like a kind of physical competition where two devotees get a hold of each other and they spin so hard and you're afraid they're going to they're going to crash off into the deities or spin off and injure someone. It seems to be more like an exhibition of masculine strength than something. Dancing should be very gracefully performed for the pleasure of the deity. We should always remember that kirtan and dancing, it's not really meant for our pleasure, it's meant for the Lord's pleasure. So sometimes it seems strange to me when I see devotees chanting Hare Krishna and they're all turned away from the deity. I mean, who is Krishna? So definitely, kirtan is enjoyable, but the enjoyment, our enjoyment is secondary. That comes automatically if we're thinking how Krishna will be pleased by our chanting. Because I did it in my brahmacharya book, not to wash it in the toilet. If possible, you can avoid bringing it in the place where people pass through. But in the Western countries, as they very conveniently put the place to bathe right next to the place where people pass through, then there may not be... Well, the kitchen's an alternative. That's an alternative. Actually, in many ways, because the warm climate is actually makes it easier to follow all these different rules. Just like you'll find that in India, washing cloth is generally an outdoors activity, not an indoors activity. But if you try to do it outdoors in Lithuania in December, you put it in the bucket and then within 5 minutes it becomes like a solid rock. And you also become like a statue. Deshkalapatra vichara. If you chant Hare Krishna enough and stop the beef eating, then this will also become nice and warm and suitable climate. And not by global warming effect.
You can hear many times in India that Bhaktisiddhanta subsequently established his own sampradaya. He established many principles that Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not practice before. Please explain these changes and how can we protect ourselves by the help of Shastra?
Well, what things did he introduce new? What things did he introduce? Who's asked this question?
Okay.
Well, he didn't introduce giving Brahminical initiation to persons from lower castes. That had been done by various other Vaishnavas. It was widely practiced, for instance, in the Shamanandi sect. And he wasn't even the first to give sannyas since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That had also been given in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Although only very, maybe one or two instances. There are many points which are very technical, which if we're to discuss now, that it would take a lot of time, actually. Wait till my book comes out and get it discussed then. He certainly made a change of emphasis over what was going on in the Vaishnava Sampradaya at that time. If he hadn't have done, the Vaishnavism wouldn't have spread all over the world. So just that very fact alone demonstrates that what he was doing must have been correct. It's very difficult to, I mean, what are these Babajis who criticize like that? What do they think? Due to Maya, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur preached the wrong thing. So people who are in Maya in the Western countries, they came to another kind of Maya because of him. And then due to that Maya, they go to Vrindavan and the Babaji tells them, actually, he doesn't know what he was talking about. You should listen to me. So what's it? Is Lord Chaitanya's plan that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati should, through Prabhupada, should preach some kind of Maya all over the world? And then due to this other kind of Maya, people should come and then hear from some Babaji, and then he'd initiate them and tell them they're a gopi while they're still smoking cigarettes or something like that. Anyway. If Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is not bona fide, then how is Krishna consciousness being preached all over the world? Just consider it. Does it make any sense? How is it that people are radically altering their lives and chanting Hare Krishna and studying Shastra and adopting the Vaishnava way of life? And then all these people can say, no, this is wrong. They have no potency themselves to change people's lives for the better. these Babajis, these all us or whatever who say like that, they promise you something higher and better very cheaply. This is called Sahajiya. They'll promise you instant Rasika Bhakti, like instant coffee. You just buy it, you put it in the water and you stir it, and you got coffee. You just go to the Rasika Guru and you got Rasika Bhakti, just like that. It's not such a cheap thing. Those who want to be cheated will be cheated. Those who want something cheap will get something cheap. If we actually want the gift, it's easy to talk about Krishna praying, but if we actually want that, we have to work on purifying our hearts by following the path of sadhana bhakti very carefully. Of course, anyway, that's another discussion. Sadhana, vaidhi bhakti doesn't automatically lead to raganuga bhakti, but it creates a platform which is favorable for our entering. Anyway,
what's the next question? We don't have much time.
What are the symptoms?
Symptoms.
Bhakti pareshano bhavo virahtiran yatra. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. That bhakti is characterized by, on one side, attachment for Krishna, and actual experience of Krishna, which the concomitantly a detachment from everything material. So that is the succinct explanation. The 9 symptoms of bhava bhakti are also given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So as much as we are developing these, then we can understand these are symptoms of advancement. That means tolerance or indifference to various material conditions. While it's spending all our time, and not wasting any time, but using all our time in the service of Krishna. Being free from the desire for honor, having a taste for chanting the holy names, and so on. You can consult the Nectar of Devotions discussed in each.
How should be said in a right way when a person wants to offer his obeisances for Tulasi Devi? Should it be said Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti?
Both are correct. The original mantra in Shastra is Vishnu Bhakti. In the first songbook published in ISKCON, the compiler decided to put Krishna Bhakti. And this question has been asked ever since. However, because the Shastra says like that, Vishnu Bhakti, then it's better to follow what's said in the Shastra. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he wanted to alter a Bhagavatam verse from Muktipade to Bhaktipade, which seemed to him to be better, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you can't change Shastra.
This is Srila Prabhupada's instruction that all the devotees should get up early in the morning at 4 a.m. Is it according to the sun time or is it according to the official time? Because the time has changed, springtime and summertime. Because the change of the Lithuanian time, there is an hour and a half sometimes. Sometimes the difference between hours.
I was just in Russia and I was told there's one devotee who gets up there every day at 8 o'clock in the morning. When he was asked about this, he said, but it's 4 o'clock Moscow time. Well, that time, any time you get up, it's 4 o'clock somewhere. Actually, Shastra states that we should rise in or just before the Brahma Muhurta. Of course, Shastra was originally composed for climates where they didn't have things like the sun rising at 10 o'clock in the morning and setting at 1 in the afternoon. It's difficult to say where Brahma or any of the Muhurtas are because each Muhurta lasts for about 48 minutes, but then that's only if the sun rises and sets more or less at the same time throughout the year. So it seems to me that to solve this problem, Prabhupada just said get up at 4 o'clock throughout the year, wherever you are. But as we are very intelligent, we always have some way of being extremely Krishna conscious and at the same time breaking everything that Prabhupada told us. I mean, I never heard of anyone saying that, well, you know, actually, according to the adjustment, we should get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, but they'll say we should get up at 5 o'clock because of the time adjustment. But if it went the other way, you wouldn't hear anyone saying we must get up by 3 o'clock. We'll correct it for an extra hour's sleep, but if it goes the other way, we won't chop off 1 hour's sleep. So, Prabhupada simplified it. Let's keep it simple. 4 o'clock.
It is said that the flow of desires should be just tolerated and one should not try to fulfill them. But on the other hand, it is also said somewhere that those desires which become an obstacle to devotional service should be still fulfilled. What to do?
It's not exactly said that one should just let the desires flow and not act on them. It's not exactly what's stated. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that a person who is fixed in transcendental consciousness, they are like the ocean which is not disturbed by the rivers flowing into it. That the desires may be coming, but they're not disturbed by it. So this is a description of a person fixed in a transcendental position. However, the sadhana to reach that transcendental position is not necessarily this that we should just try to avoid all desires, but rather the tendencies that we have should be directed towards Krishna's service. That also, we have to be very careful in doing so. It's just like fire. If we're handling fire, we have to be very careful. Okay, one more question, and then it's over.
Well, what is meant by this prohibition to eat grains and, I don't know the other word.
Beans?
Beans in the Kadashi. Does it mean just those fruits or whole plants also? Can we eat sugar, vanillin, curcuma, and this methi, I think it is methi.
Methi, fenugreek, is it?
Yes, on the Kadashi.
Turmeric. Well, just like, for instance, mustard seeds are proscribed on Ekadashi. Mustard. But not just the seed, but mustard oil is also. There are lists of proscribed foods and anukalpa substitutes. So, in that anukalpa, then, or substitute, sugar is allowed. What is there else? Yeah, but the problem with turmeric is that, in the grinding process, it may be mixed with the grains get ground in the same machine generally. So if you're using grind it yourself, then which I don't think you don't even get. Better you don't use it on the chemistry. Let's just, if you really want to be safe, better don't use powdered spices on the chemistry. Hare Krishna.